The first person to be tried under Hong Kong's sweeping national security law was found guilty of secessionism and terrorism by three High Court judges. Tong Ying Kit was arrested last year just hours after the legislation came into effect. His arrest came after driving a motorbike into a group of police officers while flying a protest flag that read, "Liberate Hong Kong, revolution of our times." Questions now revolve around how the landmark decision will have broader implications on how the legislation reshapes the city's common law traditions. Ian Marlow is Bloomberg's correspondent in Hong Kong. He joins me now. Hello, Ian.
Hi there.
Can you explain the outcome of this case to us and how today's proceedings occurred?
Yeah, this is the first one that's the first verdict that's come down in Hong Kong. There's obviously been well over 130 people arrested under this legislation. A lot of trials are ongoing. Some of them have been delayed, but basically everyone now in the city who got used to watching protests and lots of other dramatic things happening in the city over the last couple of years are now kind of tuning into the courts and seeing how Hong Kong's sort of venerable British tradition common law courts are going to interpret this very mainland style national security law that Beijing imposed on the city. So Tong Ying Kit, who very visibly was filmed and recorded at a protest driving his motorcycle with this sort of black flag billowing from the back into a crowd of police officers and falling off, injuring a few police officers in the process. His was the sort of most visible, obvious case. A lot of the other cases involve speech crimes, political organizing, and other things that certainly weren't violent in a traditional national security sense, and also weren't as dramatic. And so I think his case, because it's come up first, because it was tied up with some other issues involving the protest, the first protest against the national security law on July 1st last year, it's become a sort of very highly symbolic and sort of charged case in the city.
What does the decision mean more generally for pro-democracy protesters in Hong Kong?
Yeah, so he was found guilty on two counts of terrorism, sort of involving the bike and the attack against the police officers, and also secession, which is trying to break Hong Kong away from China because of what was on the flag. And I think a lot of people's immediate response, I think, has been, "Oh wow, the judges in Hong Kong are actually, very much interpreting the national security law by the letter it was written by the drafters in mainland China, in Beijing," and I think this was a slogan, "Liberate Hong Kong," that a lot of people chanted, said over the course of the protests in 2019 and into 2020, groups of hundreds, sometimes thousands of people chanting or shouting that slogan. Mm. And so you can imagine that, it's something that was quite open to interpretation, and actually quite a bit of the trial actually focused in quite bizarrely on trying to kind of read into the messages. There were sort of prosecutor witnesses who said, this clearly means he wanted to overthrow the government, and you had defense witnesses saying, "Oh, it's vaguer than that. It doesn't necessarily mean that." But in the end, the judges came down and said, displaying that banner literally meant he was trying to incite a crowd to try and break Hong Kong away from China.
Yes.
Which, if you look at the footage, could be open to interpretation, but that's what the judge said.
Well, it's interesting that they've reached that interpretation. And does it tell us something about what we can expect from future judgments by those High Court judges in Hong Kong?
I think it does. The former Chief Justice, when he stepped down a while ago, he said it's not up to the Hong Kong judges to write law or to decide whether a law is good or bad. It they're there to interpret the law. And in a lot of cases, it seems like they are treating this law, which was, again, written in Beijing, revealed at midnight last year, the full text of which was only available as soon as the law took effect. So no one could, you know, kind of a very untraditional way of unveiling a law in a common law jurisdiction. There's no debate. There's no local legislator talking about it. And now we basically seem to be having handpicked judges, picked by the chief executive, whose government is prosecuting these people, really interpreting the law as it's written, but by mainland Chinese officials in Beijing. And so, you can expect, if this continues, a sort of pretty stern interpretation of the law. And a lot of people are being prosecuted for national security crimes, alleged crimes, that actually in other jurisdictions are not illegal in any way. Yeah. 47 of the people who are currently facing prosecution are on trial for, participating in an ordinary political primary, i.e., selecting which candidates are going to run in the election. So that's something that every Western democracy generally has. And they did that here. And we're accused of trying to kind of subvert the government and overthrow it.
So, well, it'll be interesting to see what that decision means for the remaining 100 or so people who've been arrested since that law came into force. But also, can we say that today's decision effectively quashes any further pro-democracy protests in Hong Kong? Could you go that far?
I think we've basically been seeing a sort of gradual chiseling away of the freedoms in Hong Kong, and I think the freedom of expression, freedom of the press. I mean, all of these things are under pressure in different ways from different facets of the government's approach to sort of orchestrating what's essentially a sort of, crackdown on the opposition and dissent in Hong Kong more broadly. So I think this is one part of that. I don't think this necessarily criminalizes protest in a way that at the moment it isn't already, in the sense that we still have COVID group gathering restrictions that limit public gatherings to 4 people, even though you can eat in a restaurant with more people than that. It's one part of a broad sort of systematic approach, I think, from the administration. So I think it's part of the whole, but it's not, I think, the most significant, weapon in the arsenal in that sense.
Thanks, Ian. Great to talk to you. Ian Marlow, Bloomberg correspondent in Hong Kong. This is RN Drive.